Engagement strategies can be developed under the heading of the factors affecting engagement set out as below. You can see this leadership. Again, when you talk about leadership, it has to be commitment from the top. Building engaged leaders, building a leadership that involved leadership and involved culture, when everybody is aware of who's doing what, everybody is aware about the clear roles and responsibilities, articulation has been created, DRIs have been direct responsive individuals have been created. HBR has also found that organizations which scored higher in employee engagement always reported 48% fewer safety incidents and 41% fewer patient safety incidents. If at all it is driven from the top, and if you and your business imperative has put safety and patient safety as one of your imperatives or one of your values, you will see that everybody that you go the moment you sit, if you're as an as a external, if you have visited the organization and you're sitting in the lobby and you're seeing that people around there wearing helmets, taking necessary maintaining social distances, using sanitizers as and when they pass from each one touch point to the other, wiping, the housekeeping staff coming and wiping the handles as and when the when there is a entrant. All these are happening because of the fact that it is lived from the top. So everywhere you do not have to put on ways and means to apply. You see that it is happening on its own. Okay, so hence it says that HBR also has said that organizations scored higher in employee engagement, reported 48% fewer safety incidents. So they live by, so they're highly engaged and they're highly believe about this safety as a value. And they will see 41% fewer patient safety incidents. Integrity. It's been built at it's the heart. It builds a distinctive corporate culture. Organization must promote a strong work culture in which the goals and values of managers are aligned across all the functions and to the organizational goals and values. Okay, so this contributes towards creating a distinctive and unique corporate culture. The work itself. Ensure availability of key resources to the employees. Managers must ensure that all the requisite resources that they require, whether it is physical, whether it is material, whether it is supplies, whether it is financials or data related resources, they are available to the employees so that they are able to perform their jobs well. Okay, so that they are able to aid to their performances of which is already in existence. Okay, so the work itself has to ensure that itself can be a great employee engagement strategy. Design the roles to be intrinsically motivating. It does not have to be extrinsic. It does not have to have, push metrics around it. It has to be designed to be intrinsically motivating. So who are responsible for this? Managers are responsible for designing the jobs and the roles for their employees in such a way that they must, they are all aware of it. They're educated enough. They understand the criticality and the complexity that it involves of having a good work and effective job design. So employment engagement strategies can be developed under the heading of the factors affecting engagement. These are the things that we have discussed already. The work itself, we spoke about here, the work itself. Three characteristics must be part of good work design. This was distinguished by Lawler in 1969 and being required in jobs if they are to be intrinsically. So if you are expecting employees to be intrinsically motivating enough in their jobs, it should have these three things. These three characteristics have to be present. Feedback, as to know what is it happening, how do you feel about it. Are you using the abilities that you have, use of abilities and the self-control, whether you're autonomized enough, you have enough autonomy to be able to perform the way you feel you should perform, okay? Or you should perform, optimally perform it. Or your hands have been tied all the time. You have to go through various approval metrics all the time. So how is it? So feedback about the job, use of the abilities and the self-control. So, the work environment and culture begin with onboarding. The first thing is about the onboarding. So, most organizations establish talent acquisition strategies. However, they lack employee retention strategies. An effective onboarding plan is the first building block towards engaging and retaining the new joiner. Okay, so if you do not have your onboarding strong enough and induction strong enough, you might see employees calling it quits within the third or the second day of their joining. If they did not get the treatment well, and what they do is they do an apple to apple comparison. They do a comparison of what they were, where they were, kind of organization that they were in, and what is it that they received today. Okay, so if there is a stark difference between the two and it is not very positive, you will see a lot of churn there happening in the beginning of the while you are onboarding those new joiners. So an effective onboarding plan is the first building block towards engaging your talent who comes in. So the work environment and the culture have to have develop has to develop a positive culture. It has to have healthy work conditions. You cannot have now, especially with the current times that we are in, we have to have very, very healthy working conditions. It has to be safe. It has to be sanitized. It has to be taken necessary COVID protocols need to be followed. All of these healthy working conditions is one of the must-have employee engagement strategies in today's date. Third is otherwise people will not become confident coming to work every day. Your infrastructures with regards to your sanitation has to be completely taken care of very well. Encourage a strong feedback system. Okay, if at all you're so regular intervals. So onboarding, I remember in one of the organizations that I worked, we used to have that was an initiative that I was a part of where we used to call it as a Chai Pe Charcha. So Chai Pe Charcha was nothing but they were discussions with the HR team. And so, for example, if you are say, let's say you are from the finance team and you have your Chai Pe Charcha and you had three people joining in from your team in this month. In the various levels. And then you had two people who were new joiners in marketing, and then there was one in HR, and there was one in probably the innovation team. So you had these 7, 8 new joiners for this month. So what you do is HR will call for one meeting for all these people together. And there would be one spoke. You do not pressurize on who has to attend. One spoke from each department can come as a part to attend the program. And sometimes it happens that they may not come also, but that's fine. But HR flags off this particular session. So it's for 1 hour, you do a discussion, what has happened, what are some of the good things that they have learned for the organization, what is it that something they really, really found different or unique about the organization they really enjoyed, what are certain things that didn't work for them at all, what are certain challenges that they faced. So all these things have been discussed. Okay, so this is so where you actually gather a lot of information from the employee at that stage itself, at the first month of joining itself. So you get a good insight about how your onboarding process was. And then for the leadership, I remember I used to run that survey myself. There was an anonymous survey that I would send across to the the leadership level, whoever has joined in 45 days' time, and that person undergoes that survey. Nobody knows who says what, but you get a lump sum, a good sample as in how your onboarding has taken place. Opportunities for learning and development, which manifests the learning culture, incentives, and the reinvention that you have within the organization. So these are the different factors which affecting the which affects the employee engagement. So when you talk about incentives and reinvention, I would like to lay a little stress over here. Incentivization on performance, okay, both financial and non-financial benefits must be provided to people, okay, who display greater engagement levels in their jobs. So it's not only the, if at all, if it is only annual incentives, you know that it will come along with the bonus, whatever that comes as per your, which is a cohesive rating that the person gets, and it will come in due course of time. But at the same time, you should administer some non-financial financial benefits also, to be probably some felicitation towards their family, providing maybe just a social media message, maybe anything like that, which will improve their engagement level. And when people receive more pay recognition and praise, they will tend to exert more effort into their job. That is obvious, isn't it? That's very, very clear and obvious. And it's a human tendency that the more you get, the more you give back. There should be clear link between performance and incentives given to the employees. This is what is the salary and this is what is your performance pay. So hence the term performance, the adjective performance has been associated with the word pay. One is a pay for your regular job that you did, for what you're supposed to do. Okay, you got your salary is what you get for what you're supposed to do. Your performance pay or your incentives are something that you get for doing something extra over and above what you're supposed to do. Yeah, so there should be a clear link between the two. According to this research, employees need to keep looking for opportunities to refresh and expand the concept of employee experience to address the human experience. Okay, so work on building on an understanding of worker aspirations to connect work back to the impact that it has created, not only for the organization, but for the society as a whole. Okay, what is it that, so this is, the research has said that the employers need to keep looking for opportunities to refresh and keep enhancing the concept of employee experience to the minds of the people, so that they carry this human experience along with them. They understand that, they internalize it, that this is not only meaningful that I am doing for myself, this is something that I am doing for the society as well. This is not only for the contribution towards my organization, this is also towards the society that I am contributing. Organizational reputation. Strong internal brand communication is something which completely drives employee engagement. In order to retain and engage employees, it is important to build a strong employer brand, and lots of organizations are striving towards that. And they have a different department altogether apart from, I mean, it's associated very closely with marketing. So you completely work towards employer branding only. Okay, through the various good practices, you know, you use best of the practices available globally and nationally. And however, this should be backed by strong internal brand communication and reinforcement. So brand communication has to keep going. It has to be ongoing all the time, and you have to keep communicating that. For example, you're saying that we want to be the employer of choice in the next 3 years. It has to be spoken by each and every individual in the, they have to believe it. Right, so it has to be disseminated to the first level of the organization. This helps overcome the tendency of employees to focus on smaller negatives. So if smaller negatives happens, they will just tend to overlook it. Okay, because they will finally look at the big picture that the organization is trying to build. Some more organizational engagement strategies are organizational reputation, as we spoke about, participating in CSR activities, in corporate social responsibilities. I remember working in an organization where I was given an opportunity to be able to voluntarily teach the farmers' children of Maharashtra. And the organization is associated with it, and it was just about expectation of 1 hour in a week, okay, which you are supposed to telephonically teach the child on phone. So once or maybe twice, depending on your availability, you can discuss. So I felt so proud about associating in that particular project, which was so voluntarily in nature and which was so unconditional in nature. Okay, so employees feel very good about associating with these kind of CSR activities. A socially responsible organization makes employees proud to be part. As I said, I am very proud of being associated with it. And these kind of organizations are always perceived by employees as a good place to work. Through the sensitivity shown by the organization towards the society and people, it is able to convince employees regarding its sensitivity towards their issues. So obviously, the whole mindset gets shifted the moment you see that the organization is contributing to so many things. You know, it's about developing or helping the children grow down, farmers of the Maharashtra are being, you know, the children of there who are badly affected by economy today have been, taught free to be able to be employable and all these kind of work if they're doing such kind of activities from a mindset of corporate social responsibility, what all they can do for employees' issues. So hence there is an automatic perception that's get built. A strong socially responsible image helps organization build a positive image, not only externally but also internally. Externally, of course, you project and you kind of market and you kind of create that branding, but internally also, because people get a chance to get associated and they feel good about it, and there's a great positive psychology which is built within. So employer branding, as we talk about, this includes various initiatives as organization takes to build its positive image in the eyes of the existing and the prospective employees. This is the main agenda of employer branding, is that they want to create a great image in front of the eyes of positive image in the eyes of prospective employees in order to retain and attract them respectively. They want to build this image for the existing and for the upcoming or for the prospective employees which are going to come into the organization, and want to so that they are able to retain them and attract them. Absolutely. Right. So these are because of these two things, they create the employer branding. So ensuring sound investment of organizational resources. This is very important. There's a need for thinking strategically that organization currently utilizes, how the organization is currently utilizing its human resource practices. Are they in line with what is happening in general, or are they doing some completely one-off initiatives which is not at all relevant to the sector? Once the organization's objectives are understood, the HR leaders in some cases may choose to use specific HR practices to foster engagement, but not commitment to the organization. Okay, so in some organizations, once the objectives are being very, very clearly understood, the HR folks they can use some specific HR practices to be able to attract, completely impact the imperative that we have discussed, the objectives that they have understood. Okay, so it could be some relevant specific HR practices that they can pick up and adopt just for the business objective. In order to gain investment in engagement initiatives, the HR leaders require using their persuasion powers as well, which is more on follow-up, which is more of convincing, through a compelling business case for these initiatives. You have to create a business case. This, you have to give a case study to be able to convince, to be able to persuade others for it, okay, to be able to gain investment. Because otherwise, if you yourself do not believe it, you HR leaders have to be the flag torch bearers, actually. Who have to completely keep going back and forth and improve your persuasion powers through your different case studies that are there within the organization. So you have to share your case studies that which for this particular initiative, this is what is the case which I've really worked on. We want to do this further. We want to strengthen this further. This may increase the chances of success in such an investment. So you will see more of, buying in, coming in across, and hence you will see more of, success stories around that. It is important to back the decisions about engagement initiatives with, again, data. Do not talk about it on a fluke. There are a lot of, this is one of the important guidelines that you have to follow. Okay, you cannot speak in the air. I have seen so many people, including me, I must have done it this, because we do not carry enough data with us. Because we know that the data is there somewhere in the system, we have to take out the data, extract it, make it in a lucid format to be able to make it understand by the stakeholders. What I will do is I will just kind of articulate it verbally, because that's what they're interested in. But that's the wrong practice. Please follow it. Your back your investment decisions, that this particular investment I'm doing because of this particular. What is the data? Describe the data. Showcase the data. Linking research conducted within an organization's specific HR practices to produce the best of the results. Post the results of the survey. Do not have to. Just post the results. What is it that you've received? Post the survey. It is imperative to determine which aspects of the engagement are most important and business success. And the you don't have to tell the whole story or whole detailed analysis of it. You just have to show the results and which aspects of it is most important for bringing the business success. Okay, for this particular success that we are looking at, this is what are some of the most important aspects, and this is what our focus areas are going to be. The rest of the details are not required. Okay, so just a big picture. So these are the elements that will drive up employee engagements. High performance culture, defining the expectations and directs the implementation in the beginning itself. Building trust enhances collaboration. If you are able to collaborate together and your role defines better, you are able to work, contribute higher than what you are doing. Building on environment, what celebrates, to be able to contribute to the celebration of the achievements, whether it is personal or organization level achievement, organization is celebrating a culture of recognizing a celebration culture. Promotes employee development, which is typically your HR initiatives. If there is a contribution, there is enough performance, you're providing necessary growth. Ensures we are making an impact. Okay, so all these things will actually, these elements will drive up the employee engagement. Employee engagement has been shown to impact on business performance by various researchers. Okay, we have spoken about this earlier, but the greatest researchers have always been Gallup. An early research by Gallup had found low to moderate correlations between employee engagement and a range of business outcome measures, including customer satisfaction, profit, productivity, turnover, and safety. So let us see how engagement impacts key business metrics. Okay, so we will have to note take an analysis of this. This is what has been found by Gallup. Okay, but so let's see how engagement impacts the key business metrics. It positively impacts the productivity. So this is what very clearly said. Okay, employees engaged with their work and the role and the organization are highly productive, as we have been talking about this, as they are motivated beyond personal factors. It is not only for their personal reasons, they are also motivated intrinsically and extrinsically that they feel like doing more and more in their jobs. So over and above their personal factors, there are also manifestations or other factors which they are because of which they are motivated enough to contribute more. Research over the years has shown that low levels of employee engagement are harmful to performance. So, which means the disengaged employee will always produce lower, will always perform slower. Reduce absenteeism. Employee engagement has negative correlation with rates of absenteeism. Okay, if you have absenteeism, which means again disengaged employees. You'll have people leaving, early, or you'll have people coming in late, or you will have absenteeism. Every 2, 3 days, you'll see one person not coming in the department. Those kind of things can happen because it is a negative correlation. Encourages retention. Replacing an employee may cost 1.5 times the employee salary. So retention definitely has a substantial positive effect on the profitability, isn't it? Don't you think, remuneration-wise, and we save out so much of cost by retaining the employee because it's costing us 1.5 times of the employee's average salary. Engaged employees are less likely to leave their jobs. We have discussed this earlier also, that an engaged employee will always be more committed in the organization. And if an employee has no emotional commitment to their job, there is a greater chance that they will leave to pursue a job outside. Okay, so if there is no emotional connect, if there is no emotional commitment and no shared values with the organization, the employee will not think twice before moving another job. Enhances customer loyalty. How does this happen? There exists a strong link between high employee engagement and increased customer satisfaction. It says that engaged employees are more likely to produce better quality product. They will make less errors. They would tend to be brand ambassadors. They will be talking for and of the organization. They will positively impact the organization's reputation externally. So hence it says that it builds customer loyalty as well. So a satisfied employee, an engaged employee builds customer loyalty. So for brands, they are loyal to consumers, are willing to recommend, 60% they are willing to recommend. 60% of customers will tell friends and family about a brand that they are loyal to, right? If they're loyal to the organization, they'll talk to 60% of its office or her friends, okay, about its good things. 52.3% will join a loyalty program. 39.4% will spend, does not think about spending more. Okay, this is what the brand loyalty is from the consumer's point of view. This is how it has been shown in terms of the percentage. Okay, 60% will recommend, 52.3% will join, and 39.4% will not mind spending more. Why there is a need to measure the engagement now? We know we have understood the engagement now. Why is it that it is important to measure that? If we do not measure, how do we come to know how we are doing about it? How would you check whether you are on the right track? A need for measuring engagement has been felt for the following broad reasons. Measuring engagement is not only complex and is quite reliable. Moreover, it does not involve too much of time. 10 to 15 minutes per employee is what is required, and it's quite economical. Okay, so it's a very simple process. It's not very complex, does not involve too much of time, does not involve too many people. So hence, it's very simple. So hence, the first reason that why we should do is, one reason is that we should measure engagement because it's not very complex, very simple. It's not time consuming. The second one is that there is a high degree of positive correlation between employee engagement levels and the organizational performance. How the organization is doing versus how the employees are reacting to it, how the employees are engagement level. So what are the engagement scores of the employees and what are the organizational performance scores? Okay, so there's a high correlation between the two. The higher the performance, higher is the employee engagement, higher the engagement score, higher will be the organizational performance score. The outcomes of engagement measures are highly controllable and actionable, enabling the dedicated senior leaders and HR teams to undertake impactful initiatives. So the outcomes of these engagements are highly controllable. You can always take necessary actions to be able to control and take necessary actions to be able to bring that on track, right? So you can dedicate senior leaders and HR teams to undertake impactful initiatives to be able to take care of the scores. Employee engagement is an important component of a business success. We spoke about it, that is directly proportional. It is direct correlation is with the business. Creating an employee engagement strategy alone is essential, but it is not sufficient. Only an engagement survey strategy is not enough. It has to be linked with the business. Once the vision for engaging employees is established, it cannot be left alone if long-term results are to be desired. Okay, so if your vision has been created, your business outcome has been decided already for engaging employees, you cannot just leave it to that employee engagement alone. You have to link it again, you have to survey it, you have to benchmark it, and you have to finally get into the scores which shows whether or not if the organization is growing, your employees are engaged or not. It will show the direct correlation there. What about measuring through engagement surveys? So engagement data is generally collected to employee responses to a survey, usually delivered online. These are all delivered, it's just small tests which have been sent all across, and you need to put your employee ID. In some cases, it does not even require, some basic information will be required, and you can anonymously fill it and you can get the good substantial sample on the engagement scores. Employees indicate the extent to which they agree or disagree with the items in the survey. They will say yes, and there will be a range from 0 to 5 or 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. You score as per your choice. Okay, what you feel. So extent of your score will bring in the relevant score for the organization. An engagement survey may be published, survey conducted by professional agencies like Gallup is one we've been talking about. Okay, so you can administer third party, which is your externals, professional agencies like Gallup, Aon, many other such companies are there. Great Place to Work. All of these are there, so which you can do it so that there is no internal intervention anywhere. So it's a complete unadulterated score that you get. or an in-house, or sometimes if the organization, and it's a very expensive process, so hence a lot of organizations do it in-house as well, developed by the HR function. They are not as effective as a third-party survey is, but however, due to cost constraints, it's okay to do the HR. And some organizations do a combination of both as well. They do the annual survey through the use of professional agency, but quarterly surveys, they do it internally using HR. So a good survey not only helps you determine the levels of engagement or disengagement, but also brings forth the efficacy of it, okay, of the elements that help drive engagement within the organization. So the following are the characteristics of a good survey. It should be short. It does not have to be too long. It should not be very time consuming. It should be valid and it should be reliable. It should have limited flexibility. And it should be actionable. It cannot be just up in the air. It has to be actionable. So the moment you see it, you see that there are some questionable scores which has come along. So what are some of the actionables that you will put together to improve those for the next year? Results of survey and data analysis. Results can be tabulated and presented in a number of different ways. There are different ways and means to show the results. Most organizations will pay attention to the responses to individual items at the work unit, department, division, or organizational level. Okay, so it depends which organization you are working with, and most organizations will pay attention to all the individual items. And it might want to look at how well the organization is doing relative to a broader based external norm. So there are some sample or maybe an average score of the industry that the company is will be projected by the third party. Okay, so you might want to look at it that how well do we stand, where is the median, how do we stand in front of the other industry other competitions. People have adopted to a virtual working in three waves now. So, you know, that has started in the year 1980s, by the way. Virtual working began in 1980s. That was fueled by the technological advancements. Freelancers took away the jobs of the coders within the organization. The social pioneers of virtual working used the early incarnations of personal computers to design products. Earlier, employees were not having personal computers. They were having common computers where, as per need-based items, people used to, because a lot of mechanical work was in place in the 80s. Not so much of computers was in fashion across industries. So they build, as freelancers, they build codes and they write and edit from their own homes. So that's how they disrupted the whole virtual working environment. And these freelancers would work from their home. And then there was the second wave, which began around early 2000s. The practice of virtual remote condition expanded from pioneering freelancers to include corporations. Okay, so this is at the same time what happened. This TCS, which was based in India, began to build enterprise-wide platforms that enabled all employees, wherever they were located, to work collectively with tools to assign task and manager's performance. So they were able to do it from remote locations very, very well, entwined together, and they were, no matter where they were located, they were working together in a particular project with the necessary tools that are required, because it was a platform based, and hence every tool was, it was in the cloud, and people were able to utilize the tools as and when it required, assign the tasks, and manage the performance. So TCS was the pioneers to start this. So it moved from freelancers to the corporations. Then the current wave came, which is the mass experimentation which has happened. The challenges that everybody is now facing because of the pandemic and are very, very unprecedented and not sure how long it will continue. All of us are unaware of what is there in future, but it is here to stay. We are going to work in a blended mode. We are going to work remotely for a while. Many people have begun working from home with just 1 or 2 days notice. Yeah, I remember me started working in, I was that time in Pune, and I had to come to Mumbai within that 1 day's notice when everybody was declared that from tomorrow, Mumbai was getting closed and nobody will be able to travel. So at that night itself, I drove down to Mumbai. And that was Friday, and the next day was a holiday. I think Monday onwards, I started working remotely. And many people have begun working from home with just 1 or 2 days' notice, and their struggles have been fueled by speed, the sense of shock that they were undertaken, because everybody was not able to, you know, I was already 20 years experienced, and people who are experienced, they still have to, by and large, you know, worked remotely in their phases of work. But for people who have just started jobs and who are very inexperienced, who are into very technologically, or maybe they are doing, which is a very desk job, job or a factory job, it was a great sense of shock for them, and you know, everyone was affected. So what companies like TCS did was that they shown from the white platforms is importance of building strong collaboration. So they are selling these platforms now to every next corporate, you know, such as deciding up, you know, on front on goals, key roles, clearly defining boundaries and spans of control, clarifying tasks and measuring roles and commitments. So these are what the platforms have provided as remote working solutions. Thank you so much.